This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we continue our Rural Issues series, talking about how the presidential campaigns affect rural America. Today, we talk about the campaign stance on the Farm Bill. We'll get a forecast for the weekend as well from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. University employees, teachers, judges, and those with state agencies in Illinois have been assured that the country's economic decline is having no impact on their retirement benefits. The heads of the three agencies that handle those funds issued a mutual statement yesterday noting those benefits are constitutionally protected. State University's retirement system director Dan Slack says he's gotten a few calls to his office fearing otherwise. He says while there's no question Illinois' investment portfolios have suffered, they're structured in a broadly diverse way that not only includes U.S. stocks and bonds, but international equities and other assets less connected to public markets. Slack says CSRS is well situated to provide protection when the economy rebounds.
We do firmly believe that while this is a tight spot in the markets, that we will get through this, that the U.S. economy will. The Fed, the Department of Treasury has indicated that they're willing to take whatever steps are necessary to make sure that there's sufficient liquidity in the financial market.
Slack says while state employees need not worry, Illinois' income is suffering based on its return on investments. He says the first quarter of fiscal 2009 has been rough, but economists indicate a turnaround could occur prior to next June 30th. A Champaign County Board Committee has reviewed the county's budget proposal for next year amid worries about how the global economic crisis could force some changes. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The $119.9 million budget plan is already a tight one. But County Administrator for Finance Deb Busey worries that the credit crunch and tumbling markets may strain the budget even more. Champaign County's revenue from interest is already down 40% from a year ago. And Busey told the County Board Policy Committee last night that she expects a slowdown or drop in sales tax revenue as a result of the current economic crisis. She says the county ought to start making plans for emergency spending cuts.
That it would be a good idea for each department to come up with a plan for how they would cut expenses in the area of probably 3% out of their 09 budget in 09, because you may have to ask them to implement those types of cuts by the end of the first quarter.
With these budget pressures looming, the policy committee last night rejected a proposal to forgive $1.3 million in loans to the county nursing home. Committee members want the loans to remain outstanding to help everyone remember the need to get the nursing home back in the black. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The latest move in the battle over state funding for substance abuse programs has not given any local agencies many new answers. This week, Governor Blagojevich signed a bill to divert $221 million from special accounts in order to restore other money cut from the budget. The director of development for the Prairie Center in Urbana, Betty Seidel, hopes the center will receive the more than $900,000 the state cut from their agency's budget. Seidel says the cuts forced the center to close its detox program and cut back on youth services.
To be able to restore the services that the community is used to having here and that are very much needed in the Champaign-Urbana area, we would need all of that money restored. So I don't think that we could, continue to deliver the same kind of service level without that full restoration of the nearly $1 million cut that we took this year.
But it's not over. Blagojevich has yet to sign legislation authorizing the spending of the diverted money. He says it's up to State Comptroller Dan Hines to decide whether the state has enough money to restore that funding. Police are asking for the public's help after somebody left a threatening note inside a library restroom on the University of Illinois campus. The note was found Sunday. It threatens that someone will be shot on Green Street Halloween night. It also claimed responsibility for a broken window on a vehicle last Friday outside the Savoy 16 theaters. U of I Interim Police Chief Jeff Christensen says investigators from the FBI and other departments are still trying to determine whether that note was an empty threat, but they still want to ask the public for tips.
And as we near Halloween, if we've assessed the threat is credible and there's concern, we're obviously going to do whatever we can to inform people so they can make their individual decisions where they want to be and also ensure public safety in terms of our operational deployment.
Christensen is asking anyone who might have seen anything out of the ordinary at the undergraduate library on Sunday to call police or Crime Stoppers. One of the top officials in the early days of the Department of Homeland Security says there's no silver bullet to protect the United States from a possible terrorist attack. Speaking on Focus 580 yesterday, former DHS Deputy Secretary Admiral James Loy said a 100% guarantee solution is not available in protecting the country, but he says they've made major progress in preventing future plane hijackings.
So it is about hardened cockpit doors. It is about federal air marshals. It is about guns in the cockpit. It is about trained professionals at the checkpoints of airports as opposed to those things in the past. Challenge to me in aviation today, we've concentrated mightily on the passengers that get into the cabin of the aircraft. We probably still have a little bit of work to do on the cargo that goes into the belly of the aircraft.
Loy says they're still working on more effective ways to screen airport luggage. He says another major concern are the hundreds of thousands of containers that enter the country daily through commercial ports. Loy says it's difficult to maintain a high level of security while allowing trade to move freely. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. We're continuing our series on the presidential campaign and how it relates to rural America. It's a collaborative effort of AM 580 and public radio stations across the country. High grain prices in America's agricultural industry suggest that today's producers are raking in the profits. Record high fuel prices shock the wallets of Americans, while some producers reap the benefits of exploring alternative forms of energy. The Food Conservation and Energy Act of 2008 allocates funds for agricultural subsidies, leading the American consumer to believe rich farmers are just getting richer. But Gail Banzit of the Public Radio Rural Issues Project reports the real truth behind farm subsidies.
According to the Congressional Budget Office, the Farm Bill designates $307 billion over the next 5 years to agricultural subsidies. Close to 70% of that amount has been authorized for nutrition, leaving the remaining percentage for commodities, conservation, and other programs.
It is called a farm bill, but sometimes I wonder if it should be called a food bill.
Mike Spradling, an Oklahoma cattle rancher and pecan grower, is president of Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Spradling says the new farm bill allocates only a small amount of money for agricultural subsidies. However, the issue of subsidies was one of the reasons President Bush vetoed the farm bill twice. He felt producers should rely less on federal support. Spradling doesn't see it that way.
The important part I see as a producer and as a consumer as well, that subsidies play, it assures that we keep a certain amount of production people, whether it be livestock or crops, in business.
So who exactly qualifies for these federal farm payments? Producers who can prove they have a history of growing various supported crops on their farms. Participation in subsidy programs depends on the size of a farmer's operation, and even when times are good, producers involved with commodity programs can still receive a check. Some farmers argue subsidies are a cushion for when things go bad, not a free handout. However, a large part of the American public sees subsidy payments as wasteful support for large agribusiness corporations.
Farm Service Agency, this is Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you.
A county's local Farm Service Agency, or FSA, office is managed under the USDA and is where the subsidies application process begins. Producers see an agent for guidance in what programs they are eligible for. There are three main types of subsidies, which call for farmers to make under a certain amount of money before help can be granted. Cash commodity checks are direct payments. Countercyclical payments are yearly payments made when the national average price falls below a certain range. And CRP, or the Conservation Reserve Program, pays producers a yearly sum for retiring their land in usually 10-year intervals. Joe Lyde is an agricultural programs specialist through the USDA's Farm Service Agency. He says the amount of money that can be given to producers in subsidies is limited in the following ways.
We have a $40,000 pay limit that goes to any one person in direct payments, a $65,000 pay limit for what we call countercyclical payments, There's a $50,000 pay limit for Conservation Reserve Program payments.
In 2007, $5 billion was distributed in direct payments alone to U.S. producers. On a global scale, nonprofit organizations who assist developing countries, such as World Neighbors in Oklahoma City, say the system for which food is produced, distributed, and marketed is broken. Scott Kello is Executive Vice President for Sustainable Agriculture at World Neighbors.
Agriculture subsidies in the industrialized world, in the U.S., in the European Union, as well as in Japan, are a part of the reason why we think that's broken.
Kello says American farm subsidies drive down global prices and make it less competitive for poorer farmers in poorer countries to compete.
There's less of an incentive for them to try to produce and to be competitive because the price is so much lower as a result of this false economy created by subsidies in the North.
Republican presidential candidate John McCain opposes ag subsidies, saying they negatively affect the world's economy.
When the United States and Europe subsidize our biggest agricultural producers, we distort global prices and we hurt the world's poorest farmers.
On the campaign trail, Democratic nominee Barack Obama hasn't said he's against all subsidies, but agrees assisting billion-dollar agribusiness operations just doesn't make sense.
Because every time you're giving that money away, that's money that could be used for family farmers to do the right thing, and that's something that I'm going to try to encourage. So.
Like everything in today's economy, fuel, fertilizer, and even farm equipment carries a higher price tag. Oklahoma farmer and cattle rancher Richard Pratz doesn't budget for subsidy payments, but says they sure can come in handy.
There's some years that that government subsidy is all the profit we make on the farm. And without that, you know, we'd be in the red.
The USDA forecasts the federal government will authorize close to $13 billion this year in total farm subsidy payments. Thanks to wording in the Farm Bill, America's new president, whoever he is, may play a role in deciding how that money is distributed. For the Public Radio Rural Issues Project, I'm Gail Banzit in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser has a very simple forecast for the weekend. Sunny during the day, clear during the nights. And temperatures will range today from a high of 68 degrees in far northeast Illinois to 83 in the far south. In Champaign-Urbana, a high of 77 degrees with winds in the east at 8 to 16 miles an hour. Clear tonight, lows from 45 in northeast Indiana to 57 in the far south, 54 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, sunny and a high of around 80 in east central Illinois. The temperature range from 72 from far northeast Illinois to 86 in the far south. Sunday, mostly sunny and 83, partly to mostly sunny on Monday, and a high again of around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.